Beloved radio friends, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus, we greet you in His name with a desire to bring to your heart the most wonderful story of redeeming love and grace that is pictured in the 22nd chapter of the book of Genesis. It has been with interest and blessing that I humbly pray that you will follow the story of the sacrifice by Abraham of his only son Isaac upon the altar on Mount Moriah. We come to the place of sacrifice today in our reading and meditation. Reading at verse 9, we have the word saying, "And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the land, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son." And may we again repeat that which we have stated in the preceding message, that without question of doubt, this incident in the life of one of God's servants may be one of the strangest surrenders that any person has ever been asked to make. A most dramatic appeal and demand that he should give up his son and slay him in sacrifice upon the altar at Mount Moriah. But again, we are reminded of the great antitype of the gospel story when the Father above sent his son, and together with his son, when they wended their way to the altar of Calvary. We can certainly recognize that Abraham's heart must have certainly been facing the anguish of soul that he felt, as thus the altar of his devotion and faith in the living God manifested his obedience to do that which God had said. The Lord had told him to send Ishmael away. That in itself had been somewhat of a blow to him. But it was a greater blow. It was a greater request. And that was to take Isaac, and that God would take Isaac from him. I can imagine with what lingering fondness Abraham must have delayed every movement of his hand. But the inevitable moment arrived, and with Isaac bound upon the altar, willingly, without resistance evidently, submissively, permitting himself to be bound, looking up into his father's face, for one can suddenly visualize that as Abraham stood above his boy and looked down upon his prostrate form on the altar tide, and looked into those eyes, unquestionably of implicit trust, how his heart must have been broken. But in obedience to the divine request, he raises the cruel knife and is about to plunge its keen edge into the heart of his only son. Then a voice, I wonder if it was a voice shaking like thunder, and even echoing down the valley around, a voice said, Abraham, Abraham. And his hand was stayed. And yonder behind him, he was told to look where there was a ram caught by his horns. And the ram became the substitute for Abraham's beloved son. Again we repeat, with no apology for the repetition. John chapter 8 and verse 56. The words of the Lord Jesus saying, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it, and he was glad. In those moments of dramatic suspense and heart-wringing anguish, please let me state, God was permitting Abraham to look down the long corridor of time and see in a vision by faith upon Golgotha's hill a cross that was lifted high, the cross of Calvary, where the darling Son of the living God, the only begotten Son of the Eternal Father, became the sacrifice for sin. There was no ram caught in the thicket to become his substitute. He was the one of whom Abraham had said, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. My beloved radio friend, let me raise the question. Has the story of Calvary's sacrifice ever reached your heart? The words are incomparable that we often quote and know so well from John 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Again we read in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 14, the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And even the Lord Jesus himself said to the Father, that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. We think of the words the prophet Isaiah wrote of that sacrifice of the Son of God on Calvary's hill in Isaiah chapter 53. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before a shearer is dumb, so opened he not his mouth. We have no utterance from the lips and the mouth of Isaac in thus seeking to prevent his father from sacrificing him upon that altar. There is no complaint. There is no murmur of disobedience. And even in the lips of our Lord Jesus, we know from the trial that he had before the high priest, before Herod, before Pilate, he opened not his mouth. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And may I say, when Abraham was thus arrested by the angel of the Lord speaking from heaven, saying, Abraham, Abraham, and he answered, Here am I. He was told, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything to him. That did not happen to the blessed Savior. The hand of divine judgment, the sword of divine wrath and judgment upon sin came upon his sinless, spotless soul, and his body was given in sacrifice. But note the commendation that the angel of the Lord gives to Abraham. But now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son from me. And thus Abraham takes the ram, caught in a thicket by his horn, offers the ram up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. My beloved, please may I state, the judgment for sin, the penalty for your sins and mine, each one of us deserves to bear. The knife of justice deserves to be placed in our own bosom, and it is our own soul that needs and deserves the judgment that we have fully earned because of our sin and iniquity. My beloved, here is a Savior who took the judgment for you and for me upon that cross of Calvary. Oh, let me quote the words of a precious old hymn. On Calvary's brow my Savior died. 'Twas there my Lord was crucified. 'Twas on the cross he bled for me, and purchased there my pardon free. Mid rending rocks and darkening skies, my Savior bows his head and dies. And the opening veil reveals the way to heaven's joys and endless day. O Jesus, Lord, how can it be that thou shouldst give thy life for me to bear the cross in agony in that dread hour on Calvary? O Calvary, dark Calvary, where Jesus shed his blood for me. O Calvary, blessed Calvary, 'twas there the Savior died for me. My beloved radio friend, you may wonder at the story of Abraham and the offering of his son Isaac, but it pictures the greater story of the Father's love in heaven above for your soul and mine in giving his only begotten son to die to save us. May I ask again, has this story of Calvary ever reached your heart? Have you fallen at the feet of such a Savior and such a God to give him thanks for dying in your room instead to save your unworthy soul? May God help us all to worship him and give thanks for his unspeakable gift, the gift of his beloved Son for our salvation. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, may every one of us be able to say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich, so free, for Jesus' sake. Amen.